If you would, take your Bibles and turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. We've been talking the last few weeks about the renewed mind. And the renewed mind is putting into our minds all of our rights, privileges, and abilities. Putting into our mind who God has made us, what we have, and what we can do. That is the renewed mind, putting on that new creation that we are in our minds. And just a little sidebar, people who have been students of God's Word for a length of time, sometimes when they hear a teaching on a familiar passage of Scriptures or certain topics that are familiar to them, might be tempted to say, "Oh yeah, I know that. Oh yeah, I know. I've studied the love of God. I know that. Oh yeah, I know that section of Scripture. I've read that quite a few times. I know about righteousness. You know, I've looked at that quite a bit." We've got to be cautious because that kind of an attitude can slip into complacency or even irreverence for God's Word, and that could lead a person to what it talks about in Timothy about having itching ears and wanting to hear something new. So we stay reverent to God's Word. And all through the epistles, God's Word in the church epistles, God reminds us over and over of who we are, what we have, what we can do. God reminds us of this great reality of being born again once and what that means to us. The Apostle Peter, shortly before he died, wrote what we know is the second epistle of Peter. And we're going to read in chapter 1 in verse 12. "Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, as long as I'm alive, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance." I'm going to remind you of what you already know. "Knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that you may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance." So that's what he wrote to him. The first thing we need to remember is that this wasn't Peter's idea shortly before he died. "Well, I think before I die, I better remind them of some things." No, holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. God told him what to write. God had Peter write and remind them of things they already knew. God told him what to write. So, therefore, God thinks it's pretty important to be reminded of things we already know. That's God's position on that. And Jesus Christ did this. Look back in Luke 24. Luke 24. This is the first day, the first time Jesus Christ is back with his disciples. And in Luke 24, you know, he came and they were all freaked out. And then he went, "Look, it's me, touch me. Look," they're like freaked out. "You got any food? Watch, I can eat. It's me." And once they had settled down, he began to talk to them. In verse 44, "And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you." Reminding them of what he already told them. We're in Luke 24, 44. "These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me." If you look at John 15, John chapter 15, this is before he was arrested. John 15, 20. "Remember the word that I said unto you?" You remember what I said? So again, he's bringing into their mind something they've heard before. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant's not greater than his Lord. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. In chapter 16, verse 4, but these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, you may remember that I told you of them. Remember these things that I told you. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. But remember these things when I'm gone. Remember them. Remember these things. Paul did this as well, 2 Thessalonians. Second Thessalonians chapter 2, speaking of the end times, Paul said in verse 5, remember ye not that when I was with you, I told you these things? Do you remember this? I told you this. So what is he doing? He's reminding them of what he already told them. God thinks that's needful for us to be reminded of things we already know. Well, I know that. Good. Well, we need to be reminded of it. Why? Because, well, go to Galatians. They weren't really renewing their minds in Galatians. In Galatians chapter 1, verse 6, I marvel, or I am astonished, that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, telling you again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. So Paul was once again reminding them that, you know, what he was teaching them, it wasn't something he came up with. It was by revelation. And, you know, all seven church epistles, revelation that God gave Paul to write. And these guys were, they were getting talked out of what Paul had shared with them. I'm astonished. You're so soon removed. There are people that are troubling you. Look at chapter 3, verse 1. Oh, foolish Galatians, you foolish people. Who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? This only would I learn of you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? And if you're familiar with the book of Galatians, they were getting into legalism. They were getting into, well, we still got to do circumcision. We still got to keep the law. We got to do all this. And he's like, what? They had forgotten. And the reason they had forgotten, they were obviously not renewing their minds to who they were. They were not renewing their minds to the gospel that Paul had taught them about who they were, what they had, what they could do. But they were sliding into that legalism stuff. Look now, at, if you would, at Acts chapter 20. This record in Acts 20, Paul got the leadership together, the elders. And there's great learning here for us. In Acts chapter 20, in verse 14, it talks about him traveling there to Mytilene, and verse 15, they came to those other places. And at the end of verse 15, they came to Miletus. For Paul had determined to sail by Ephesus, because he would not spend the time in Asia, for he hasted, if it were possible, for him to be at Jerusalem the day of Pentecost. And from Miletus, he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. So he's going to have a meeting with the leadership. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, "You know, from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations, which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but I've showed you and I've taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Spirit witnesses in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that ye all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more." This is the last time you guys are going to see me. "Wherefore, I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. I've not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God." He held nothing back. "Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves." And if a person is going to be a leader in the body of Christ, that's the first thing they have to do, is take heed unto themselves. "And take heed unto all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. For I know that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I ceased not to warn or admonish everyone night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up." God's word builds us up. The world will tear you down. God's word will build you up. "And to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. I've coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Yea, you yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. I've showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, 'It's more blessed to give than to receive.' When he had thus spoken, he kneeled down and prayed with them all. And they all wept sore and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spake, that they should see his face no more." That's where they were the most upset about. Maybe some were upset that he gave them quite a warning that some would, grievous wolves would enter in. "And they accompanied him to the ship." Look at verse 28 again. "Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he's purchased with his blood. Take heed, therefore." And how do you take heed unto yourself? By renewing your mind to God's word, by keeping God's word fresh in our hearts and minds, by, oh my goodness, by reviewing things I already know. I know that. Well, fine. Put it in again. And verse 31, "Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I ceased not to warn everyone night and day with tears." These were the elders from Ephesus. And remember, in Ephesus, daily in the school of Tyrannus, teaching, teaching, teaching. I wonder if he ever taught the same thing twice. You taught that once before, I think I remember. Oh, and now, brethren, and I love this, verse 32, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among them, among all them which are sanctified. See, it's more than just a Sunday morning fellowship, you know. Sunday mornings are wonderful. But we make the time during the day to read God's word, to study God's word, to review and reinforce in our minds who we are and what we've been given by God. We make the time to do that. You know, that's why we take the time to repeat classes that we've already taken. Classes that are available to us to review what we've already heard and how blessed we are in this area where we live to have some wonderful classes available to us. But that's why we, you know, repeat them. It keeps us in the lane, you know, keeps us from swerving over into the curb and the next thing you know, we're in the ditch. You know, it just keeps us steady in the lane. Look at 1 Timothy. People that got way out of the lane. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Verse 1. Now the Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, from the right way of believing. Is that talking about unbelievers? No. It's talking about born-again believers that have been taught, that know who they are in Christ, what they have in Christ, what they can do as a son of God, as a born-again one. Some of them will depart from the right way of believing, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. They are not staying in the lane. Obviously not consistently, day by day, renewing their minds to who they are and what they have. Speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, nothing to be refused, if it's received with thanksgiving, for it's sanctified by the word of God in prayer. Now look at this. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of a good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profits a little. You know, you can go to the gym twice a day every day for the rest of your life. For the rest of your life. And if the Lord tarries, a day's coming when you're not going to the gym. Right? That's why it says it profits for a little. You know, we're here for a little while if the Lord tarries. But godliness, having a true vital spiritual relationship with God, which is built upon knowing who I am, what I have, what I can do, what God has done for me in the new birth, godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying, or the word is faithful and worthy of all acceptation. Verse 1 again, it says, the Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. If we consistently renew our minds to who we are, what we have, what we can do, consistently do that, we'll not be led astray and depart from the right way of believing. Remember in the Old Testament, Passover was a memorial. They did it every year. A memorial means a remembrance. So every year at Passover, they were, you know, it was set up to remind them of the great deliverance that God did way back when he took the children of Israel out of Egypt. It was a remembrance. They were to remember that. And then, you know, you can read in the Old Testament, the prophets told them many, many times to remember the covenants that God had made with them and to do God's word. And it's kind of sad, but there's a number of places in the Old Testament where you can read where God said his people had forgotten him. One of those is in Jeremiah 2, if you look at that. It's a very sad verse to read. I guess the opposite of remember is forget. Do you ever forget anything? I forgot. Where did I leave my keys? I forgot. Mm-hmm. Certainly don't remember at that moment, but... So sad verse to read. Verse 32. 2:32 of Jeremiah. Can a maid forget her ornaments? Or a bride her attire? Can you imagine a lady just about ready to get married and doesn't even remember she's wearing a wedding dress and all that? These are rhetorical questions. Yet, my people have forgotten me. Days without number, God said. My people forgotten me. That's sad, isn't it? And then if you're familiar with the Old Testament, where did they end up? They were out of the lane, big time. God said they turned their back on him and went and worshiped idols. So let's go to 2 Peter again. See, God's so loving to put this stuff in here so we stay in the lane. We stay put. And more than stay put, we continue to grow. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 13. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent. Be diligent, that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. Be diligent. And account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. What Paul wrote was wisdom that was given to him. Holy men of God spake as they're moved by the Holy Spirit. So here's Peter. God had Peter write this before he died. And he said, our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, has written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable wrestle, as they do also the other scriptures unto their own destruction. So the ones that were having a big problem with the things that Paul wrote, yeah, they're having a problem with the Old Testament stuff too. Not hungry for God's word, not meek to receive God's word. You therefore, oh, that's you and I, okay. You therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things before, beware, lest you also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. And the only way we're going to fall from our own steadfastness is to get lazy and not renew our minds day by day. Continue to put into our heads who I am, what God's given me, what God's done for me, what I can do, who I am, all, you know, the rights, the privileges, and we just continue to renew our minds to that. So instead of being led away with the error of the wicked and fall from your own steadfastness, verse 18, but grow, 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 grow. Well, when do I reach maturity? When do I have to stop being diligent and stop renewing my mind and stop? When Christ comes back, then we shall know even as we are known. Woohoo! New bodies, better brains. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And that would have to include all that he has accomplished for us so that we can walk as sons of God. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Grow in grace. See, all of God's word is very profitable unto us, right? All of it. All scripture profitable. Genesis to Revelation. It's all profitable. The church epistles are written specifically to the born-again believers. It's the good news. It's the gospel of God concerning his Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And that section of scripture is so critical and vital to us. It's where we find out who we are, what we have, what we can do, right? And God had Peter write and direct the believers to what God had Paul write. Isn't that cool? That's just so wonderful. So a teaching on a topic that we've already heard before or a section of scripture we might be familiar with, rather than saying, oh, I know that. Oh, I've heard that. Yo, I've worked the word on that topic a lot. Sit back up. That's good. I know. I know about righteousness. That's cool. You know, rather than doing that, perhaps we could pay very close attention, even though we've heard them before. You know, the first place we went this morning was Peter said, look, I know you know these things, but I'm going to keep reminding you of them. And that was revelation. That is God saying, I know you know this, but I want to keep reminding you of it. So, you know, perhaps if we would pay real close attention, could God give us more insight to that passage of scripture or that topic? Could our understanding increase? Could we even get a deeper understanding of it? Of course we could. And that helps us to continue to keep growing. God says in his word, be strong in the Lord. And our adversary so desires us to be weak in the Lord. And God said, be strong in the Lord. So we close in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22. That you put off concerning the former conversation or behavior of the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. And the only place you find out about that new man is in the scriptures, in the church epistles. So, day by day, we put into our minds who we really are and what we've been given. Before I pray, I wanted to say that regardless of the outcome of the election this coming Tuesday, it will not change God's word. Now, it may result in some better people in our government or not, but we can certainly, as someone did earlier here, we can certainly pray for better people to be in office. We can also pray for those who are not good for our country to no longer be in power. We can certainly do what it says in Timothy to pray for all those who are in authority that we could lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and holiness. And of course, we can vote. Meanwhile, even though there's an election coming up, don't we have a great message to speak to other people? We can lead people to the new birth so they can get born again and they can begin to learn about rights, privileges, and abilities that they have as children of God. We can pray to have open doors to speak God's word to those who want to know. Some don't. Okay, fine. And we can pray for people to turn to God. I was teaching Wednesday at the Desert Winds Retirement Center and talking about how, you know, if there's going to be a spiritual revival, people need to turn to God. And then there are people that can speak God's word to them. And so one of the examples I used, I gave a little background to the song Amazing Grace that was written by a man who at one time, well, his youth, he was just wild in his youth, just one of those kids, you know, just wild and reprobate and all this stuff. But he ended up being in the slave trade. That was his occupation. And at one point, his ship got into big trouble and was about to crash outside of Ireland. His mom, I think, was a Puritan, but he was not godly at all. But at that moment, he cried out, "God, help me." And they say that a lot of the cargo shifted and blocked a hole or something. They made it safe. And so he gradually turned his life around, became a minister. So it's like anyone could change and cry out to God for help. So we can certainly pray that people would do that. But regardless of the outcome of the election on Tuesday, it does not change God's word at all. You are who God says you are. You have what God says you have, and you can do what God says you can do. So let's pray. Father God, I thank you so much for the privilege to share a little bit of your word here this morning with your people. Thank you for our wonderful Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who carried out your plan of salvation and redemption so that we could be born again, sons of God, with all the rights, privileges, and abilities that you said we have. Father, we're just grateful to you for your love, your grace, and your mercy. And Father, I pray for everyone here in this room and those on the hookup, for you to bless their lives this week and to take care of them. Also pray, Father, for those who need healing today. I pray for Victoria and Suzanne. I pray for Dave Carl. I pray for a safe trip for the family heading back to Colorado, for safe roads for them. Father, we're just grateful for all that you do for us, and Father, how blessed we are to have the scriptures right in our lap that we could renew our minds day by day. Thank you for your love for us. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Amen.